This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على صحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the prophet the messenger of Allah My brothers and my sisters I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this gathering, a gathering that we get together for the sake of Allah, to please Allah and to know more about the messengers of Allah. And we started speaking about Adam alayhi salam, the first man, first prophet. And we spoke about the children of Adam and how long Adam alayhi salam lived for 960 years. Supposed to live 1,000 years, but we all heard the story. How he decided to give 60 years of his life to Dawood, or 40 years of his life to Dawood alayhi salam. And we mentioned the story to the end of it, when the angel of death came to take his soul, he said, I still have 40 years to go. So he said, did you forget that you had given 40 years to Dawood alayhi salam? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Adam had forgotten, and then the progeny, the offsprings and the children of Adam start to forget ever since then, and ever since Adam alayhi salam had forgotten. And Adam passed away, he died. And the angels came and buried Adam alayhi salam. And they showed the children of Adam had a buried there, dead. So the angels were the ones who demonstrated and displayed and showed the children of Adam, who are us, but the direct children of Adam alayhi salam had to bury someone when they pass away. And we spoke about the story of Qabil and Habil, how Qabil killed his own brother Habil. And we mentioned that when Qabil killed his brother Habil, he ran away from his father because he was too embarrassed to face his father. When Qabil killed his brother Habil, Qabil ran away. He was too shy and embarrassed to face his father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes mention of that in the Holy Quran, the remorse and the regret that Qabil went through. So he did regret. Did he repent? Allahu alam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ He regretted. He regretted the action that he did. He killed his own brother. And he's a son of a prophet and a messenger. So it was a big thing. You know, it's haram to kill. It's a big crime for you to kill someone, let alone it's your own brother, let alone when you are the son of a prophet. So what did Qabil do? Because of his embarrassment, because of his regret and remorse, he ran away. Adam alayhi salam and his children, they used to live in the mountains. When Qabil ran away, he ran away to the plains, to the fields. When Adam alayhi salam passed away, the majority of the children of Adam were united, except Qabil and his tribe. So we're not talking about people that used to age 50 years and 60 years. SubhanAllah, the other day I was in a gathering and people were talking about their grandparents. You know, my grandfather lived for 103 years. Allahu Akbar, 103 years. Well, the children of Adam used to live up to 1,000 years. So when you say 1,000 years, and that's one of the things we'll be talking about when we start talking about Idris. Idris was the sixth generation after Adam, and he met Adam. So Qabil lived for long. And he could imagine, because he lived for long, because people at that time, they used to live for long, he had a lot of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and onwards. So Qabil, when he moved to the plains, when he moved to the fields, his progeny, his children, his offsprings grew. And then after the death of Adam alayhi salam, as we mentioned to you last week, his son Sheth became the successor of his father Adam. And Sheth was the second prophet and messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to mankind. He was a prophet and he was a messenger. And we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 104 scriptures. 50 out of the 104 were revealed to Sheith on his own. And we said the difference between a prophet and a messenger is a prophet is the one that receives a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they get a new legislation or when they get a new scripture, then they become a messenger. So a messenger is a higher rank than a prophet. Now when Adam alayhi salam passed away and he left behind his children were divided. Majority of them were around Sheith. Sheith was the next prophet and messenger, which means he was the next leader after his father Adam. But there was an offshoot. There was an offshoot. The offshoot was Qabil and his progeny. Within Qabil and his progeny, out in the fields, corruption started to become widespread. That's where corruption started. We can't say that their father was corrupt, but their father committed the major crime. The biggest crime to ever be committed and perpetrated during that time was to kill and murder someone, and it was his brother. So within the progeny and the offsprings of Qabil, corruption started to become widespread. And then they start to listen to music, and then they start to fall into the haram, and slandering, backbiting, fornication, adultery. It started to become widespread. Don't look at it like, you know, okay, Qabil with few children. You're talking about Qabil with children and children of children and children of children of children and grandchildren and great children. You're talking about 5, 6, 7 generations here. So that could be in the thousands. And there's some narrations that say that Iblis came in the form of a young boy that went into the tribe of Qabil and he started to teach him music. So he started to work as a slave amongst them and then he started to teach him music. But anyway, within the tribe of Qabil and the offspring of Qabil, corruption started to become widespread. But they were all muwahideen. They all believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no disbelief in Allah azza wa jal. They all believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they disobeyed Allah azza wa jal. And for many generations to come, they stayed and maintained their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but slowly with corruption. Corruption started to penetrate their lives and corruption started to become widespread within the progeny and the offspring of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Karim about the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Do not start putting makeup on and go out in the public like the previous generations from the very beginning. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the previous generations, to the first generation that started corruption, and they were the children of Qabil. So, in summary, corruption started after the death of Adam alayhi salam, primarily within Qabil's tribe. So now you've got the children of Adam alayhi salam are divided into two. The majority of them followed the prophet and messenger, that's Sheith, who's one of the sons of Adam alayhi salam, around the mountains. And then you had Qabil and his tribe that were out in the fields, and that's where corruption started to become widespread. Sheith is a great prophet and messenger, but we don't know much about Sheith besides that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned him. So in the Quran al-Karim, you open the Quran al-Karim from Fatiha to Nas, you're not going to find the word Sheith even being mentioned. And that's why I go back to the point that I mentioned to you before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned how many prophets in the Quran al-Karim. Allah had mentioned 25 prophets and messengers in the Quran al-Karim. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also mentioned another 3 or 4. One of those 3 or 4 that the Prophet had mentioned, but Allah did not mention in the Quran, was Sheith. But obviously, where did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get his knowledge from? وَمَا يَمْتُقَ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْنِ يُحَى. Muhammad doesn't say anything from his own. He doesn't just come up with it from his own. Allah revealed that to him. And that's why, even though the Quran takes preference over the hadith, but the hadith completes also the Quran. Allah says, pray. But how do you pray? صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُنِي أُصَلِّي. Pray the way you see me praying. You follow the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right now, as we speak, subhanAllah, as we speak, there's a new group that's emerging. They're calling themselves, we only follow the Quran al-Karim. You guys are the ones who follow the hadith. Of course we follow the hadith, because Allah tells me in the Quran Kareem to follow the hadith. So I'm following the Quran, and in accordance to the instructions of the Quran, I'm also following the hadith. So you can't come up with this thing and say, I only follow the Quran. No, we follow the Quran, and the Quran tells you to follow the hadith. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the one that told us about Sheath. Do we know much about Sheath? Besides, he is the son of Adam. He took over the leadership of Adam after the death of his father Adam. And he united the children of Adam beside the tribe of Qabil, beside the tribe of his brother, because Sheath is the brother of Qabil. And Sheath received 50 scriptures out of the 104 scriptures. That's why, my brothers and sisters, how many scriptures does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal? A common Muslim will say, Quran, Torah, Injil, Zabur. Yes, these are four out of 104. These are four out of 104. But these are the four most popular ones, like the 25 prophets and messengers that were here. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned 25, but it's not only 25. There's 114 or 124,000 prophets and messengers, but the most popular ones are 25. The most popular ones were 25. After Sheath comes a prophet. This prophet is mentioned in the Quran Kareem, but his story is so brief in the Quran Kareem. So some of the prophets and messengers in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into details, like Musa alayhi salam, over 70 times mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Other prophets, mashallah, beautiful story. Not a complete story, but the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is in one chapter. Beautiful story. And subhanAllah, very detailed. It doesn't tell you everything about Yusuf, but it gives you good details and brief about Yusuf alayhi salam. And then you've got prophets and messengers, some names, just a name. Dhul-Kifl. Go through the Quran Kareem, you're not going to find beside Dhul-Kifl as a prophet and messenger. What about his story, what happened to him, his tribe, this and that, you're not going to find anything. Others, a bit more details, like Idris. But Idris alayhi salam will have little details. Ikhwana, I mentioned to you before that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Hadithu an Bani Israel wa la haraj. Narrate the narrations from Bani Israel. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, from Bani Israel, narrate the narrations that you hear from the Jews and the Christians. What you read in the Bible, what you read in the Old Testament, the Torah. And there's no issues. Subject to what? Remember what I mentioned. You can, no issues. But as long as it does not contradict our Sharia. It's not like you're going to go and open the Bible and the Bible's going to say, and you know what, Musa alayhi salam, or like, you know, some narrations, Nuh alayhi salam used to drink. We can't narrate a narration like that, even if it's mentioned in the Torah, or even if it's mentioned in the Bible. We can't go and narrate, wallahi, this prophet did this, and that prophet did that, and Dawood, wallahi, fell in love with this general's wife, and then, wallahi, he set up the general and killed him, and then he got married to his wife. Shal gangster, Heather. That's not a prophet, that's a gangster. We can't go and narrate. We can't go and narrate narrations like that, even though you find them in the Torah and the Injil. We can narrate like this. For example, Idris alayhi salam is the son of Yarij, the son of Mihla'il, the son of Qaynan, the son of Afush, the son of Sheath, the son of Adam. You're going to tell me, Sheikh, la ya'ammi may, la ara even now more than my grandfather. How did you get the names of all the fathers of Idris? I'm going to tell you, I got them from the Bible. Allah, this one, you believe in it, you don't believe in it. Does it contradict your deen? Is that going to increase anything in your deen? Is that going to decrease anything in the deen? I'm going to tell you right now. I guarantee the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never made mention of those names. Nor the Sahaba did. But these names, the names of the father, the grandfather, grandfather, all the way to Adam Alayhi Salaam, Idris, we got it from the Bible. Narrations like that, exactly that's why the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam narrated it and there's no harm. Your position, so number one thing is, you could narrate it as long as it does not clash with the principles of the Sharia. So where do you stand? Like for example, I just told you right now, Idris is the son of Yarish, the son of Mihla'il, the son of Qaynan, the son of Afush, the son of Sheath, the son of Adam. Where do you stand? It's up to you. You believe or disbelieve. I can't tell you have to believe it that way, because it's not 100%. And at the same time, you can't say, I'm going to knock it back completely. It's up to you. You want to believe, you don't want to believe, you want to be on standby, it goes back to you. So this is exactly what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam implies when he says narrations of Bani Israel and Iznaham. As long as it does not clash with our Sharia. So if there's a story about a prophet and a messenger that's mentioned in the Torah, that's mentioned in the Bible, that's talking about how corrupt this prophet is and how drunk he used to become and he used to do this and he used to do that, we can't narrate those things. Why? Because it clashes with the Sharia. What does it clash? What did we say about all prophets and messengers that are ma'sumin, sinless? Prophets and messengers never commit sins, and the scholars had agreed. There's a consensus amongst the scholars. During the prophecy, 100%, without an agreement, all prophets and messengers are sinless. Okay, but most of the prophets didn't become prophets from the very beginning of their life. Some of them became prophets after hundreds of years of their life. Even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he was 40 years, became prophet. Okay, we've agreed that during the prophecy, during their time as messengers, they are sinless. What about before the prophecy? Majority of the scholars say they are also sinless. Because it doesn't befit. Let's say, for example, we are living during time one of the prophets, and this guy, he's the biggest crook, biggest liar, biggest thug, biggest gangster, and then he comes and says, Ya Jama'a, I'm the prophet, the messenger of Allah. Mashallah, Allah hil anna. You are the biggest crook, your biggest liar, and your biggest deceiver. Now you became a prophet? It doesn't befit. You are talking about those that represent, okay, we can't say represent Allah, but at least represent the deen of Allah. Allah will choose the best. That's why before the prophecy, they are sinless. And after the prophecy, they are also what? Sinless. What does it mean sinless? My brothers and my sisters, and this is a very important principle, because inshallah, I aim out of this series not only to talk about the prophets and messengers, but also to educate ourselves about some Islamic principles. And we're talking about aqidah here, because believing in the prophets and messengers is part of our faith, is part of our aqidah. When we talk about a prophet being a ma'soom, ma'soom means sinless. It means these prophets do not at all commit sins, major or minor. Prophets and messengers do not commit sins. Not only major sins, minor sins. Prophets and messengers don't commit sins. You know what? I'm even going to get into more details. Not only that prophets and messengers do not commit sins, major sins, minor sins. You know, when someone comes and asks me a question, Sheikh, is this haram? Yes, it is. Is it big sin or small sin? Yeah, and it's like he's asking me, okay? Okay, brother, it's not a big sin. What does that mean? You're going to go and do it now? And it, who are you trying to lead to? Subhanallah. You know that mentality? Akhi, akhi. It's a small sin. What does that mean? Khalas, because I told you and I gave you the fatwa, it's a small sin. You're going to walk out of here and you're going to go and commit it. At the end of the day, whether it's a big sin or a small sin, remember the quotes and the statements of the scholars. If it's a big sin or a small sin, you are disobeying Allah at the end of the day. It's the same, Lord. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a small sin or big sin. So prophets and messengers do not commit any sins, major or minor. Also, my brothers and my sisters, prophets and messengers do not only do not commit major sins or minor sins, they don't even commit makruh, disliked. If there's a matter that the scholar, if there's a matter that a prophet or a messenger that will say to you, you know what, this matter is disliked. So it's not haram, but Allah dislikes it, or the Sharia dislikes it. Prophets and messengers don't commit it. It does not befit their character. He's a prophet and a messenger at the end of the day. It doesn't befit his character. It's like, you know, for example, when I always walk into the masjid and I tell the brothers here, don't put your shoes out there, and then I go and put it there. It makes me lose credit. It discredits me. I'm telling you, don't put your shoes there. Okay, putting it there or not, it's not haram, but it's not nice. Yeah, don't put this bottle of water here and I'm putting it here. Even if you're a sheikh, it's not nice. So we're talking about prophets and messengers. So when prophets and messengers, if they encourage, they're at the forefront. If they discourage, they never commit it. So prophets and messengers are what? Ma'soomin. With the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's even more stricter on him. Not only that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is ma'soom from major sin or minor sin or makruh, the Prophet has a responsibility, which is if he hears, sees, encounters any haram committed in his presence, he must say something about it. He can't. It's a big risk. Talking now, for example, me and Hussein sitting in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are backbiting Muhammad, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just looking at us and is just quiet. Is that right? That means he's endorsing it. It's not like me, for example, as a sheikh. Okay, Allah, you know, maybe this guy, I don't want to, you know, this guy is loud. I don't want to be in his bad books. He's a prophet at the end of the day. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam can't keep quiet ever. If he keeps quiet over haram that's been committed in front of him, or haram that's been mentioned in front of him, or the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard of haram, his responsibility is to say, this is haram. Be quiet. Otherwise, it becomes an endorsement. Me and Hussam will say, the other day we were backbiting someone in front of the Prophet and didn't say anything. Which means what? Backbiting is all right. It's risky. So we need to understand the character of the prophets and messengers. Their character is what? Sinless. Which means prophets and messengers never, ever commit sins. But they can fall in mistakes. Prophets and messengers can make mistakes. Human beings at the end of the day. What's a mistake? The difference between a sin is that I know this is haram and I drink it. I know it's haram and I'm drinking it. A mistake? I thought it's water, I drank it, ended up to be what? Alcohol. That's a mistake. I drank alcohol, yes. I did. Practically, I did. But by what? By mistake. I didn't know it was alcohol. So I'm not saying prophets and messengers. I'm just giving you an analogy. And the prophets and made the mistake drinking that. Prophets and messengers can fall into mistakes. Like Musa alayhi salam, when he saw two people fighting, he pushed one with the intention to push him away from the other one. When he pushed him, what happened? His hand was like a bulldozer. He killed him. That's Musa alayhi salam. He didn't intend to kill him. But he pushed him away from the other one. His hand became too strong. Because Musa was tough, he killed the other one. That's murder. He did kill someone. But it was by mistake. So now we need to understand the character of the prophets and messengers. Prophets and messengers are what? Are sinless. Ma'sumin. They do not commit major sins, minor sins. They will never encourage anyone to do something and they never do it. And all prophets and messengers have the highest standard of manners and morals, including this prophet that we'll be talking about right now, Idris alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam. And as we mentioned, he's the son of Yarez, the son of Mihla'il, the son of Qainan, the son of Afuj, the son of Sheith, the son of Adam alayhi salam. 100% Sheith is the son of Adam. 100% Idris is one of the offsprings of Adam alayhi salam. In between, you want to believe in those names, you don't want to believe in those names, I guarantee you, after I close this booklet, I'm not even going to remember one name of those four names I just mentioned to you now. It's up to you, you want to remember, you don't want to believe, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make mention of that in any of his hadiths, or the Sahaba did not make mention of that amongst each other. We got it from the Bible. And Idris alayhi salam encountered 120 years of his great-great-grandfather Adam alayhi salam. So Idris lived with Adam 120 years. Short period of time, masakin, you know, you feel sorry for him when you see 120, 130. So Idris alayhi salam lived 120 years of Adam's life. So Idris met Adam, he met Sheith, and he lived 120 years of Adam's life. But Idris alayhi salam lived longer than that. Some narrations say up to 700 years, I've read 800 years, I've read 1,000 years. They used to live in the hundreds. It's like, you know, what's the average now? 60, 70, subhanAllah, these days even 50. One of our mates passed away, he's 41 years old, subhanAllah. But back then, in the hundreds, mashallah, they used to age. And Idris alayhi salam is the sixth generation after Adam alayhi salam. So you could imagine, by the time Adam alayhi salam was on his deathbed, Adam alayhi salam had, if not thousands, hundreds of his progeny. Hundreds. Six generations. Allahu Akbar, that's huge. That's something that's impossible, because if you want to experience the sixth generation, that means you need to live at least 200 years. About 200 years. But Adam alayhi salam experienced six generations of his progeny and offsprings. When Sheith alayhi salam passed away, so Adam alayhi salam was the prophet and messenger. After the death of Adam alayhi salam, the one that succeeded and the one that had taken over the prophecy, and obviously the prophecy comes from Allah, but he was the prophet after Adam alayhi salam, was Sheith. When Sheith passed away, it was Idris. So Idris is the third prophet on the face of this earth. Third prophet on the face of this earth. Is he a messenger? Some of the scholars say he was only a prophet. He only received a revelation. He followed the scripture of Sheith. He did not receive anything new. Some of the scholars say that. See the difference between a prophet and a messenger. So Idris alayhi salam was only a prophet, not a messenger, because he did not get a new scripture. He followed the old scripture of his forefather or his grandfather, Sheikh alayhi salam. What we know about Idris alayhi salam is very, very minimal. Very minimal. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, and remember and make mention of Idris alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Look at the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Idris. كَانَ صِدِّيق. He was indeed صِدِّيق. Not صادق. صادق means honest. Siddiq means always honest. Sadiq means honest. Siddiq means always honest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Prophet Idris alayhi salam as always being honest, upright, righteous. That doesn't mean prophets and messengers, other prophets and messengers, not always honest, not always upright. No, they're all honest and they're all always upright and honest. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Idris alayhi salam Siddiq. Subhanallah, beautiful description. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And he was a prophet. An ongoing, always, frequently honest. And صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا, prophet and messenger. وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. And we elevated him a high level, a high position, high status. And some of the scholars say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him a high status in this dunya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him a high status in the hereafter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also elevated him in the fourth heaven. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on a night journey, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, from Mecca to Jerusalem, then from Jerusalem to the seventh heaven, and then from the seventh heaven, he went and met with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every heaven that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam met a prophet, a messenger. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam went through the first heaven, which was the first heaven, he met with Adam alayhi salam. And then in the second one, and the third one, in the fourth one, he met with Idris. Okay. One of the hadiths that's been mentioned about Idris alayhi salam from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Idris was the first human being to grab the pen, to start writing. Idris was the first to start writing. And he was the first to teach people reading and writing. And he was also the first to call for jihad. Idris alayhi salam. These are narrations. Some of it strong, some of it weak. He was the first to declare jihad, to wage war against those who caused corruption. Now, up to the time of Idris, there was corruption, but there was no disbelief. Remember, up to the time, up until Idris alayhi salam, all mankind, in the thousands of them, they were all believers, Muslims, but corruption. Corruption. Mischief here, sins here, haram here, but they were all what? Believers. كان الناس أمة واحدة. As Allah makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem, that people are mankind, they were one nation, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in Allah azza wa jal. But as you could see, Muslims, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد محمد رسول الله, loves Allah, loves the messenger, but the guy is off his head. The guy is committing haram. The guy is falling in the haram. But he's a Muslim at the end of the day. He believes, he's a believer. So, up until the time of Idris alayhi salam, mankind were believers, but sins and disobedience start to become widespread amongst people up until the time of Idris alayhi salam. So Idris alayhi salam was the first to write. He was the first to teach people how to write and read. And he was the first to start and initiate jihad, which is fighting against mischief, fighting against evil, fighting against corruption. Idris alayhi salam was the first. The first to call for jihad. And in some weak narrations say that he is the first one to start preparing the armies, the Muslim armies, and those armies consisted of horses, people are walking, fighting against corruption and crime, and it was predominantly widespread within the people of Qabil. Predominantly was widespread within the people of Qabil. Now, Idris alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. We had elevated and ascended Idris alayhi salam a high level in this dunya and hereafter. There's a narration, but this narration, you're not going to find it in the hadith. And you're not going to find it in the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And even some of the scholars had rejected that. You probably heard of about Idris Alayhi Salam with the angel of death. One angel was a good friend of Idris Alayhi Salam, and then he told him, I want to get to the heavens. So Idris Alayhi Salam was taken to the heavens and he met the angel of death there. So that angel that was a friend of Idris was speaking to the angel of death, and he was saying to the angel of death that Idris wants to delay his death. So the angel of death told him, where's Idris? He told him, he's with me here in the fourth heaven. So the angel of death said, amazing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me to go and take the soul of Idris in the fourth heaven. So I thought about how I'm going to take his soul in the fourth heaven, and he's on earth, and right now he's in the fourth heaven, so his soul was taken. That's a story, you hear it, and you probably hear it from Mashaykh. But that story has no verification, has no legs to stand on. That's why I'm not going to get into this story, I'm not going to talk about it. But what happened is that Idris alayhi salam, these are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem about Idris alayhi salam. And Idris was known for his piety, and he was known for his righteousness, and he died. Where did he die? Allahu alam. But he aged. And as we mentioned about his righteousness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even praised him in the Quran al-Kareem for his ongoing honesty and righteousness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him in this dunya, and now he's in the fourth heaven. And that's something that's verified, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I encountered and met with Idris alayhi salam in the fourth heaven. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam met with a number of prophets and messengers, and one of them is Idris alayhi salam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even makes mention the fourth heaven. Maybe the interpretation of that verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَا مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, and also had elevated Idris alayhi salam, a high elevation, a high status, maybe that's referring to being in the fourth heaven. Being in the fourth heaven. Idris alayhi salam passed away. After Idris, some of the scholars say, there was a gap, a period of time, though there was no prophets and messengers. I want you all to pay attention to that. After Idris, Nuh comes. But the scholars say between Idris and Nuh, there was 1,000 years. 1 millennium. 1,000 years. These are the narrations. So between Idris and the next prophet, it was Nuh. These are narrations. You know, these are just analogies that the scholars come up with. So there was a gap between Idris and the next prophet, Nuh alayhi salam. That gap, some of the scholars say, up to 1,000 years. In that gap, disbelief and worshipping someone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start to occur. How did it occur? This is an interesting story. How did corruption in belief start to occur? Before Idris alayhi salam, or during the time of Idris, there was corruption, there was haram, there were sins. But they were all believers. Muslim that believes in Allah Azza wa Jalla commits haram. Muslim that believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refuses to believe in anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but drinks, commits this, commits that. But he's Muslim at the end of the day, he's a believer. Up until the time of Idris alayhi salam. When Idris alayhi salam passed away, there was a gap. There was a period of time there were no prophets and messengers until Nuh alayhi salam. In that gap, you have prophets and messengers. Under the prophets and messengers, usually there are students. Call them Sahaba or call them disciples. These are the close people. Like, you know, for example, you've got a sheikh these days, he's got close people around him. They learn from him, understand him. They become his, like, these disciples, his followers. So prophets and messengers, by default, they'll have followers. Not all the followers are in one level. Not all of them are in one level. Some of them are very close to the prophets and messengers because the prophets and messengers want them to be close. Some of them are a bit distant, some of them very distant. So after Prophet Idris alayhi salam passed away, obviously there were a group of righteous people, there were a group of righteous people that surrounded Idris and learned from Idris and followed Idris and started to impart their knowledge to those that came after him. So people start to take those disciples of Idris and the disciples of the prophets and messengers, start to take them as examples. They are role models. The prophet and messenger had passed away. Now we've got these disciples. They're not prophets and messengers. They are disciples. They are followers of these prophets and messengers. They are students of these prophets and messengers. And that are the best examples. You know, sometimes when you talk about a prophet and messenger, the first thing that crosses your mind, I mean, he's a prophet and messenger. He's seen with it and will say, okay, he's too much of an example for you. Take those that followed him. Take Umar ibn Khattab, Abu Bakr, Uthman, Ali. Take him as an example. If you want to compare yourself to the prophet, there's a huge discrepancy. You're going to say, he saw what I didn't see. He received revelation. It's back to Jibreel. Wallah, if Jibreel comes and speaks to me once, I'll be 24-7 in the mosque. Don't worry. Okay? So, okay, no worries. So follow the disciples. Follow the companions and the followers of the prophets and messengers. So likewise, during the time of Idris, he had those followers, he had those students, those close students, righteous people, upright people, people used to look up to. So people used to say, okay, Idris alayhi salam, prophet and messenger, Sheith alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, and Allah alam if there's other prophets and messengers out there, but these are the names that we know. We used to look up to them. They were prophets and messengers. They passed away. Now, we take their disciples, we take their followers, we take their students as our role models. We're going to take them as our role models. We're going to look up to them and follow them. So people and mankind start to look up to the followers and the students of the prophets and messengers. What happened? Eventually they died. The followers, the prophets and messengers already died. And people start to take their followers, start to take their disciples, their companions, their students, call them whatever you want to call them. People start to look up to them, and then eventually even the followers and the disciples and the companions of the prophets and messengers, eventually they died. People now sitting amongst them, they stuck. We used to look up to the prophets and messengers, they passed away. We start to look up to those. They used to be close to the prophets and messengers, they also died. What do we do? Huh? Who wake up? You can't say he was asleep. He's always there. Shaitan. La'natullah alayh. He realized, people are stuck now. And you know, this is when the shaitan takes advantage of someone when he's stuck. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you get angry, what do? Sit down, because shaitan wants to take advantage of that. When you're stuck, shaitan comes and penetrates and it starts to stir things. So after the disciples, the followers, the teachers, the students of the prophets and messengers passed away, and which people were taken as examples and role models, when they passed away, they were stuck. They said, what do we do? Shaitan came in, he said. And subhanAllah, remember what I'm saying, huh? When shaitan wants to take it out of the deen, he uses the deen to take it out of the deen. He uses the deen, take it out of the deen. Look what shaitan did. He came to people, and he said, it's so unfortunate to hear that the prophets and messengers passed away, and you used to look up to them and follow them, and then it was their disciples, their followers, their teachers, or the teachers of people after the prophets and messengers, the students of the prophets and messengers, used to look up to them, they were your role models, and they also passed away. It looks like you're stuck. I've got an idea. Shaitan gave him an idea. He said, my idea is, these people that you look up to, why don't you draw the pictures, paint the pictures? When you used to look at them, they used to remind you of Allah. Yes, yes. Okay, they're dead now. How about you just make a drawing of them, a painting of them. Remember how they used to look like? Just make a drawing here. At least when you look at that picture, it reminds you of them. But you know what? Iblis, huh? Don't you ever associate anyone with Allah. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. That's Iblis. Obviously, he wants to get his way. No, associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah, what are you talking about here? All you have to do is, you used to look up to the prophets and messengers, they used to remind you of Allah. After they passed away, you used to look at the students and the disciples of those prophets and messengers, they remind you of Allah. Now the prophets and the students had passed away, you need someone to remind you of Allah. So the best thing for you to do right now, draw some of their paintings or some of their pictures and put it in your houses or put them in somewhere in public areas. So when you look at those drawings, when you look at those paintings, when you look at those portraits, when you look at those pictures, it reminds you of Allah. People thought about it and said, okay, well, that's interesting. So they did it. But initially what? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. No association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billah, there's only one God here. These are just, you know, paintings to remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are paintings to remind you of those righteous people. They'll remind you of Allah azza wa jal. And it did happen with the first generation. Now the second generation that comes after it, they grew up in a household. Parents are just looking at those photos, reminds them of Allah azza wa jal. Maybe they've picked up a bit of that. The third generation came and said, our parents used to worship those photos. So what happened here? They fell in a trap. Allah makes mention of names of righteous people during the time of those prophets and messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. Go to chapter Nuh. Allah is mentioning names. Wadda, Sawa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, Nas. Who are these people? These are names of righteous people that later on became statues and idols that people worshipping. It all started from the time of Idris and Nuh alayhi salam. It started as what? Pharaohs, remind you of Allah, but don't worship them. But as generations come and go, started to what? You know how the culture dies and the understanding dies? And it was what? The setup of Iblis, la'natullah alayh. That's how shaitan gets you. When shaitan wants you to stop praying, you know what he tells you? Pray more. Like, pray more. Fi Allah, pray more. Pray more. Lakin, you're so embarrassing, you don't even pray. Aybushum alayk. So you pray to the extent you start hiding the prayer. So you're out of the prayers completely. Shaitan. Shaitan, look what's happening. We backbite each other for the sake of Allah sometimes. I don't know how that works. We slander each other for the sake of Allah. This organization slandering this organization. This sheikh talking about this sheikh. This imam talking about this imam. Yeah, I mean, why? For the sake of Allah. How's that for the sake of Allah? Shaitan. His maneuvers. Manipulation. And that's how the worshipping of idols started. Until Nuh alayhi salam. When Nuh alayhi salam came, Nuh alayhi salam, there's three fathers between Nuh and Idris. So Nuh is the son of Lamech, the son of Mutawashlach, the son of Idris. Okay, so three generations between Nuh alayhi salam and Idris alayhi salam. When Nuh alayhi salam came, Nuh alayhi salam was a prophet and messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more details of the story of Nuh than the story of Idris, even the story of Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even revealed a chapter on Nuh alayhi salam. And one of the amazing things about Nuh alayhi salam, he did not live for 1,000 years. He did not live for 1,000 years. He called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 950 years. He lived for about 1,200 years, as some narrations are mentioning. 950 years. Ya akhwan, 950 years calling to Allah. Preaching. Never stopped. Laylan wa nahar, as Allah mentions. During the day and night. Calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 950 years. Did not give up on calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the final story of it. So Nuh alayhi salam is a story that I'll tell you about next week. Subhanaka Allah bhamdik. Nashadu wa la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa tubu ilayk. Inshallah, next week, inshallah, we'll talk about the story of Nuh alayhi salam. It's a detailed story. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen to me, act upon or they listen to me.